Oh, you should have been there. It was so great. I've never heard anyone shut up the Pharisees like that.
Yeah, I'm going to remember that moment for the rest of my life.
What happened?
Okay, well, these Pharisees came up and they whipped out the old tax question. Should we as good Jews pay taxes to the pagan ruler Caesar, who, by the way, claims to be one of the gods, yada, yada, yada?
Wait, are you serious? What did Jesus say?
Yeah, I have never heard anyone come up with a good answer for that one.
Me neither. Well, until today.
Well, I totally thought he was going to have to whip out a miracle to get out of that one.
That's what I would have done.
I've got a sinking feeling that wouldn't have gone so well for you either.
Ah, am I ever going to live that down?
Probably not.
So, Peter, what did he say?
Well, he said, give to God...
He asked one of them for a coin first.
Oh, yeah. He said, which one of you's got a coin? And then one of them reluctantly reached into his pocket and brought out a denarius. And then Jesus said, who's on the coin? And the guy looked up at Jesus like he was an idiot and sarcastically said, Caesar's?
Well, then Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and God's what is God's.
Dude, John, I was telling that story.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Y'all really sound like an old married couple.
Oh, I wish I could have been there, but there is no way Martha would have let me out of the kitchen duty this time.
Well, Mary, last time I got stuck with all the work while you listened in like you were just one of the boys.
Sorry, but... what other rabbi would have let me listen in? He's so different, so loving, so accepting.
I can't believe he chose us.
Yeah, I can't believe he keeps me around. It seems like everything I say, I'm trying to retrieve my big foot out of my fat mouth.
I know that we've been hoping and praying for the Messiah to come, but who would have thought that we'd actually be alive to see it? The restoration of our nation is actually happening in our lifetime. I am sick and tired of those Romans doing whatever they want to whoever they want, whenever they
Martha,
want to do it.
Somebody might hear you.
John, it's okay. The Messiah is here. Our Redeemer, our King. Our King. We're actually hanging out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is he doing spending time with us? We have nothing to offer him. Shouldn't he be off in a palace somewhere?
Mary, the time is upon us. Just you wait. Things are about to change. Life is about to get so much better. We're his guys. We're like David's mighty men.
Don't flatter yourself, Pete. I've seen you with a sword. It's not pretty.
Well, it's probably going to come to that. It's probably going to come to that sooner or later, and I'm ready. It's already been prophesied. It's already been ordained. I'm ready to stand with him no matter what that means. But with the miracles that we've seen him do, I can't imagine anyone's going to put up much of a fight.
Yeah. Okay, enough chit-chat. We better go all prepare for this.
There you go again. Work, work, work.
This time, Martha's right. Let's go get everything ready.
As we go through tonight, we're going to have some times where we get to kind of respond to what we hear and just kind of sing along. So I would encourage you guys to sing along. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you feel tonight as we just continue to worship God and just to listen into his story. And when I survey the cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and for content on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, and sorrow and love flow. love and sorrow meet. Oh, thorns compose so rich a crown. And oh, the wonderful cross. May truly live. And oh, the wonderful cross. And oh, the wonderful cross. And all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name.
Creeps. I knew he wasn't one of us. Why did he have to betray him? Why do you have to betray us?
Has anyone seen Peter?
I don't think so. Have you heard anything, John?
The last time I saw him was in the courtyard at the trial, but he took off before it was over. I heard he said some pretty awful things. I heard
he's... Don't even say it. It's just rumors. Peter would never have denied Jesus. Not after all he did for him.
You know, I don't know, Mary. You were all pretty scared, and Peter had assaulted the servant of the high priest. I can't imagine what I would have done in his situation.
I can't believe Jesus is actually dead. It doesn't feel real. Everything just feels so slow and blurry. I think my tear ducts have dried up 100 times over.
I just keep thinking that he'll come walking around the corner and then everything will be all right.
Everywhere I turn, everything I see reminds me of him.
I know what you mean. And I just can't get those awful images of the beating he took out of my head. There was so much blood, and there was so much pain.
And his poor mother. I could feel her heart burst with every lash that he took. When they pierced his side, she just melted into my arms. How can I take care of the woman who raised Jesus?
You'll do just fine, John. You'll do just fine, and we're all here, and we'll all pitch in and help. But I've never seen so much poise. I think, in reality, she'll probably be taking care of all of us.
Yeah.
So what does this mean for us? Where do we go from here?
I don't know. The man was my life. I put all my hope in him. I didn't think I'd need a plan B. He always knew what to do. He always had a plan. Where was this in his plan?
But he is the Messiah, right? I mean, he had to be. All the miracles he performed, the people he healed. And no one treated us like he did. He treated us like we were actual people.
The way he looked at me, like I mattered, like I was the most important person in the entire world at that very moment. There won't ever be a man like that again. Never.
He lifted us all out of our own unique, rejected situations and gave us hope. He gave us purpose. His words were so life-giving. We all hung on every single one of them. His presence was so engulfing. When you were with him, there wasn't anywhere else. There wasn't anything else. And yet, everything was present, but just focused on him.
How could God, his father, forsake him in his most dire need? I mean, Jesus, of all people.
John, what did he mean when he said, "It is finished"? I mean, he couldn't have meant his life. Well, it can't all be over. It couldn't have just ended like that.
All I know is that no one survives a Roman crucifixion. Mary, you were there. They wrapped him. They buried him.
But John, you saw him raise my brother from the dead. This can't be the end. It just can't.
Look, I don't know. I don't know, okay? Now that I think about it, he did talk about his death, but I thought he was just being metaphorical. Come to think of it, he did say he is the resurrection and the life. Maybe it's not the end, but it just seems so out of the realm of possibility.
How deep the Father's love for us,
How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. And how great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. In anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. And why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds paid my ransom. Oh, they paid my ransom. He died to set me free, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Was that real? Or are my eyes just showing me what my heart wants to see? When I saw him at the tomb this morning, it was like a dream, but that couldn't have been.
Oh, it was real, all right. I touched him. I actually touched the scars in his wrist and in his side before he went all David Copperfield on us and vanished.
That's beginning to seem like a reoccurring theme, because I overheard Cleopas talking about how Jesus disappeared earlier today on their walk to Emmaus.
Me too, but how does a man who just got crucified walk 7 miles? I get winded after about 4, and I'm not even that holy.
Oh, too soon, John. Too soon.
Listen, what's going on? I mean, just when I think that I have everything all figured out, he blows my mind all over again.
I know exactly what you mean. Is he was explaining the scriptures to us. It all made sense. Everything just fell into place. I really thought I had a grip on the law and the prophets, but how could I have missed so much? How could I have not seen Jesus woven through its entirety?
Yeah, he was the promised son to Adam and Eve who crushed the serpent's head. He was the seed of Abraham who blesses the nations through the forgiveness found in his blood. He's the prophet like Moses. He's the king descendant from David. He is the Messiah.
The joy I feel is overwhelming. It seems as if my heart will burst at any moment. He's alive. He's real. His words are true. His words are life. By his death, my slate is wiped clean.
Ooh. If that isn't good news, I don't know what is. You know, When I denied him early Friday morning, he turned and looked at me right in the eye. And at that moment, I knew it was over for me. I knew that even if he had gotten out of there alive, it would never be the same for me and Jesus. I'd never be able to look him in the eye again. I'd never be able to look all of you in the eye again. Just like always, I was so wrong. Although, it'll never be the same. It's not like I thought. It's not about me and my failures anymore. It's not about my ability to be righteous or the amount of good things I can do. It's about Jesus and his righteousness.
I used to find my worth in what I did and how well I did it. And I used to cling to how others perceived my work. And although I excelled, I never achieved the feeling I feel so deeply that I desired. In fact, it was all so exhausting. But now, in Jesus, I have life, and I have value, and I have purpose. And really, I don't have to cook or clean never again. But yet, with this feeling of completion inside me, I think I'd actually enjoy cooking and cleaning.
Martha, I didn't tell you at the time, but when our brother Lazarus died, I was in shambles. I know we all were, but I just felt like the rug had been ripped out from under me. And when Jesus brought him back to life, although I was so grateful, I was also scared knowing that one day he'd die again. I've been trapped in such fear ever since, just wondering who's next. I felt so helpless and out of control. But seeing Jesus alive and hearing him explain it all, how everything's changed. I realize now the love of God our Father, and that while evil is evil and death is awful, God is good. And he takes what has passed by and makes it beautiful in its time because he loves us. Oh, he loves us with such deep, rich love. I can't even put it into words. I've been so selfish. I'm so sorry, Martha.
It's okay. It's okay. I understand. Now, I think that yesterday I would have held a grudge against you and probably taken out passive-aggressive anger on you or anyone else that came in my path. But seeing Jesus has made my old ways seem so petty. The depth of his grace and mercy for me has swallowed up any possibility for me to justify being unforgiving and holding anything over you or anyone else's head. And besides, it's no longer about the past. Now the life we have in Jesus is breathtaking.
You know, I thought I knew what life was all about, but I had no clue. I wanted to sit at his right hand in glory. I guess I thought that would give me some sort of significance or power or something, but all that has melted away. It really is all about love. Maybe that sounds stupid, but it makes so much sense now. Love is so much different than I thought. Jesus is the object of our affection and the fulfillment of our deepest desire. And because he has loved us, we're changed. We're changed. And now have the capacity to love each other, expecting nothing in return.
Yeah, wow, John. John, that'll preach, man. That's good stuff. Jesus is alive. He's alive, and I feel so strongly that if we gain nothing else in eternity, our cup will overflow continuously, and we'll long for nothing else.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life has led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own, a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hellbound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. And hallelujah. And all I have is Christ. And hallelujah, Jesus is my life. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all my seed, the strength to follow your commands that never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be. My only boast is you. Stand as we sing this. Oh, hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. And hallelujah. Jesus is my life. And hallelujah. All I
You guys can have a seat. It's interesting. There are two times a year when everyone comes to church, and it's Christmas and it's Easter. There are only two times a year when all Christians feel like they need to get dressed up, and that is Christmas and Easter. There must be something special about Christmas and Easter. And what it is Jesus. Jesus is what is special about Christmas and Easter, because these are the two times where we celebrate the bookends of his life here on earth. And they're worth celebrating. And what we wanted to do tonight with this conversation is, I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but when I read scripture, sometimes it's just dry. It's just words on a page sometimes. And it's like it didn't really happen. It's like someone thought it up and it's just a book. And I don't know about you guys, but getting to be a part of that, it felt real. And it was. I mean, there were people that lived when he lived, and lived when he died, and lived when he raised again. And it had a great, deep impact on their lives. Jesus is not just a historical figure. He has deep impact on people's lives still today. And if you don't walk away with anything other than that conversation, then I think you'll be fine. But I wanted to make sure that we all knew why it is that we come here. And I'm going to make it as simple as I can. There's a God, and he's good. This good God loves us. He's perfectly good, and he is perfectly loving. And he created the world and everything in it. And he didn't create the world because he lacked something, because he needed people to worship him, because he needed creation to glorify him. He was all sufficient, had everything he could possibly need, but he created out of the overflow of love within God himself. And if you look at the story of creation, it's beautiful. You see everything he creates. He creates the light, and it was good. He creates the sun, and it was good. He creates the earth and separates the water from the land, and it was good. He creates the animals. It was good. And then he creates humanity. He creates man and woman in the image of God, and it was very good. Humanity. We were the pinnacle of God's creation, the very pinnacle of his creation. It was very good. And we were created, and we had this perfect love and perfect community, perfect unity. And we also had a great purpose. And what our purpose was that we image God, that we reflect his light, that we reflect his goodness to the world, to each other, to creation. That's what we do. Our purpose, where we find fulfillment, is to image God. But what happened is we chose to sin. And when I say sin, that's such a confusing word, I think, so many times. What we did is we rebelled against God. God created us in such a way that we would get all that we needed from him, that he would give us our wisdom, and he would tell us what we needed to know. But we said, you know what? We would rather know everything and be able to choose for ourselves what is good and what is evil. And we rebelled against God. We wanted to be God. We didn't want God to rule us. We wanted to rule ourselves. And in a rebellion, sin and death entered into the world. And this is the most unpopular part of what we believe as Christians, is that the wages of sin is death. And to me, sometimes it seems so like unbalanced. Maybe that's not fair, but that's what it is. The wages of sin is death. Rebellion of God, rebellion against God, equals death. And what happened is that sin infiltrated into all of humanity through Adam and Eve. But here's the good news. Jesus came. And God decided that instead of us fulfilling the punishment for our sin, God decided that God would fulfill the punishment for our sin, for our rebellion. Easter has two parts. We've got Good Friday, and we've got Resurrection Sunday. And on Good Friday, Jesus, after living a perfect human life, he took upon our sin, all of our sin, all each and every little sin we have ever done, all the evil thoughts that we've thought, all the things that we've actually done. He took all of that for all the world, for all of eternity, onto himself. And he bore God's wrath. God's wrath. And paid the penalty for our sin. And then he rose again on Sunday. And we who confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we who are saved, we are raised into new life with Jesus. Jesus died, he raised, and we are raised into new life with Christ. And now we're no longer living in darkness. We're no longer living in slavery. We're not enslaved to those things. We're not enslaved to anger. We're not enslaved to hatred. Where before, that's all we would choose. Now, raised in a new life with Christ, we're free from that. And we have the opportunity to not be enslaved to sin, to not be enslaved to anger, to not be enslaved to hatred, to not be enslaved to lust. And then in that, God restored our purpose. That we now, in Christ, filled with his Spirit, image God to one another, to the world, to creation. That now what we do, our purpose, where we find fulfillment, is we go into a world that's dark and we bring light. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We go into a world of hatred, of anger, and we bring forgiveness. We go into a world filled with lust, wanting to take everything it can have for its own personal gain. And we bring love, which is giving and serving. So now, because of Easter, because of Jesus, because he died, we're set free. We don't have to pay the penalty he did. And now we also have our God-given purpose to go into a world and bring life, light, and freedom where there's great darkness, death, and slavery. This is why we come on Easter. We celebrate this, that while, man, it's difficult to hear, and it should be, and we should probably pass out tissues next year. It's hard to hear, but it's good. It's important. That Friday did happen. And Friday was as awful as you can imagine. But Sunday also happened. And there's great hope. There's great joy. There's great life. There's great freedom found in Jesus Christ alone. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing praise. Because Jesus paid it all. And if all we have is Christ, it's more than enough. So much more than enough than we could ever possibly hope for or imagine. And man, the last couple weeks, they've been a rough couple of weeks. Some great friends of ours going through some just tough tragedy. And it's not just located in one spot, but a number of different friends of ours going through some stuff that's just so hard. And it's in those moments that I think, why? What's going on? And I see and I feel the brokenness, the sin that this world is engulfed by. And I think it's pretty easy to see that the world definitely groans under the weight of sin. But we as Christians, we as believers, we who are in Christ, we don't grieve as those who don't have hope. Because in Christ there is life, light, and freedom. That he answers two important questions. One, what happens if we die? What happens if we die? That's an important question to ask. And he takes care of that. He took care of the problem of sin. Our eternity is secure. But he also answers the second question. What happens if we live? What happens if we live? What do we do? What is our purpose? Why do we get out of bed? Why do we not hit the snooze button? Why do we live life Is it empty and meaningless and just filled with pain and we just wait for eternity? Or is there something here and now that is fulfilling, that is meaningful, that gives us purpose, that gives us life? And there is. In Christ, we have it. We go into a broken, lost world and we say, come on, join this. It's not always great. Sometimes we have broken community. Sometimes we're mean to each other. But what we do, what we hope to do is demonstrate the redemption that Jesus gave to us, the forgiveness that Jesus gave to us. And we go into a broken world and we bring life, light, and freedom. That's Easter. Easter, that's the gospel. Good God, loving God, creates the world. Pinnacle of his creation, humanity. Humanity rebels. The penalty for that rebellion is sin and death. But God, not wanting us to pay the penalty, pays the penalty himself, raises to new life, gives us freedom and brand new purpose. That's it. That's it. Well, what else can we do but pray? Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you so desperately. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds, open our so that we can catch a glimpse of you. Father, and I pray that we would be willing to allow your Spirit to move within us. And God, if there are people here who have never heard this message, I pray that they would be willing to be moved by your Spirit to you. If there are people that just find emptiness in all that they do, I pray that you would come and that you would give them purpose. You'd give them fulfillment. And for us that know you, I pray that we would live in that purpose. Lord, be with us as we continue to sing your great praise. Lord, you are so worthy. Fill our hearts with worship for your name. And it is in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we're able to pray these things.